Good morning. Today's daf in Gittin is Mem Dalet. We're going to be starting today in the Mishnah, Mem Gimel Amud Beis. And I just did the math, the higher order math, and that is, this is the eighth day we're discussing Evikanani. So this admittedly now is a section of Shas where we're going to be going over halachas that the actual topic itself doesn't have halach lamaisa. We're not holding by ownership of Avadim, but the truth of the matter is that still, it brings us to concepts that operate well outside the purview of Evikanani, but the main topic itself obviously is something that is not current. It's not something that we deal with on any kind of daily basis. We are going to be starting with a Mishnah Amocher Avdalo VeKochavim. We're on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. And by the way, how much more Evikanani discussion are we going to have? So just today and tomorrow. And tomorrow we move topics when we get to the Mem Hei. And we get to the Mishnah on Mem Hei, so we will be discussing the mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim. Right, that happens to be okay. We'll discuss it tomorrow. Anyway, let's get underway. So the Mishnah is going to tell us the following. Let me just give a brief introduction. So you own your Evikanani. So we've discussed this already numerous times, but let's make sure that we are all oriented correctly. So that means to say that he was not Jewish before you purchased him, and now you purchased him, and now he's your Evid. So now, as being your Evid, so now he has status. His status has elevated. He's a quasi Jew. He's chayiv in the mitzvahs of the Torah. He's now chayiv in Shabbos. If he's a man, he's going to be subject to be getting a bris milah. Okay. So some of that news may come to him as a bit shocking, and he may not be the happiest person in the world to get all this. But anyway, he's now obligated in the mitzvahs of the Torah. He does have a petura on mitzvahs esei shasman grama, just like a woman does. But most of the halachas of the Torah, so he's in. But where is he out? He's out in terms of marriage. In other words, he is not a Ben Yisrael, he's not a Bas Yisrael, he's not a Ger. He cannot marry a Bas Yisrael. She, the Shifcha Kananis, cannot marry a Ben Yisrael. So in terms of marriage, they are going to be limited in terms of who they can marry. Who can they marry? They can marry each other. An Eved Kanani can marry a Shifcha Kananis. Now, interestingly enough, Shifcha Kananis can marry an Eved Ivri, but we are not, I'll drop that information and I'm going to run. And correct. In other words, the word marriage is a strong word. It's not a marriage, but that's allowed. Okay. But meanwhile, though, I'm not going to dwell on that. But okay. So now you have your Eved Kanani. We have already talked numerous times, right? A good portion of our discussion here in Gittin revolved around, now what happens when you free him? How do you free him? He becomes a full-fledged Jew. What's the mechanism of freedom? So that we discussed extensively. Okay, but now in today's daf, we're going to be really focusing on one topic and one topic only, and that is, then what if you sell him to a guy? You shouldn't have done that. Now, why shouldn't you have done that? Because by you selling him to a guy, so now he was in a position where he was subject to be obligated to doing mitzvahs. So that is it's a privilege. It's a responsibility, but it's a privilege. And now you put him in a position now where he's not chayv in the mitzvahs of the Torah. The chachamim basically look at you and they frown. And more than frown. In other words, if they just frowned, okay. In other words, the rabbi was unhappy with me, okay. It's not good. But in other words, but they do more than that. In other words, back in the day where the chachamim had real, real power, so what they did is that they exercised their power and they consigned you and they penalized you. When you sold your Eved Kanani now to a guy, so they say to you, okay, that's it. In other words, you're now gonna redeem him. And not only are you gonna redeem him, but you're also gonna lose him as well. Okay. And that's a serious kanas. But by definition, kanas means that you're gonna be given punitive measures for the fact that you shouldn't have done that. And by virtue of the fact that you did that, the chachamim are gonna step in and say, because we told you not to do that and you did it, so you're gonna be subject now to a significant penalty. You're gonna be redeeming him at what rate? So stay tuned. We're going to discuss that a little bit later on in the daf. Okay, so that is, so really the truth of the matter is that when all is said and done today, our topic of discussion is kinas, the penalty that's imposed on a person when he violates divrei chachamim. And now again, it's not a general penalty. It's specific to particular actions. Over the course of this morning, we're going to go over various actions that are subject to a penalty. One of the examples is obviously what we just put out there. If you sell your Eved Kanani to a guy, you're subject to a kanas. We see the Mishnah together. Hamocher avdol of the kochavim o lechutz aretz so yatsa ben charin. So if you sell your guy to an avi kochavim, alternatively, you sell him from where you and the avi kochavim were living in Eretz Yisrael, and you sold them to outside of Eretz Yisrael, so yatsa ben charin. So what's going to happen now is that the he's going to go free. He's going to go free, meaning what? Automatically? So Rashi over here writes in the Mishnah, no, well, not automatically, meaning he was sold. So Rashi writes, Im baruch minol v'kochavim, so o shekantua beizam levdoso, kedar melakamen dekonsonoso levdoso, chishyapadena lo, lo yishtabit lo. So Rashi says, number one, let's say he just simply runs away from the guy who purchased him. Alternatively, Rashi points out, and again, I brought this up in my introduction, but Rashi is referring to the Gemara later on, you're going to redeem him. What do you mean you're going to redeem him? I sold him. Yeah, but you shouldn't have done that. And now you're subject to the Kenas Chachamim, and now you're going to go redeem him, and once you redeem him, so he's no longer your Eved Kenani. Well, what do you mean? He just goes free like that? Yeah, that's part of the Kenas. Let's see more of this in the Gemara, Tana Rabban, and the Gemara brings down a Braisa. Mocha Avdeloka Ovdi Chachamim Yatzal Echeros V'Tzarech Yatshichur Me'Rabban Rishon. So, so once again, over here in the Braisa, we're being introduced to the same Kenas. You sold him to a guy. You shouldn't have sold him to a guy. So now he's going to go free. So, and not only that, but the original owner also has to write to get shechrer. Amr shemem gamla ba'med varma morim shelo kasev alav ono aval kasev ono. So zehu shechrero. So, and according to Shimon Gamliel, if you write some sort of paperwork, all right, the word ono is some sort of contract. So if you wrote up a contract, so then you don't have to go ahead and write him a formal get shechrer. What are we talking about? Amar Sheshes the Kasavla Hachi Lecheshetivrach Mi Menu. So Ainli Esek Becha. So basically the paperwork is as follows, and that is that you write up for him after you sold him to the guy, which you shouldn't have done, and in come the Chachamim explain to you now. Okay, you're in trouble. In other words, you shouldn't have done that. So now you're going to be the paperwork that you're going to be writing up is basically look. When he runs away from his new owner, alternatively, in other words, I guess we're going to assume as well, if and when I redeem him, not if, but when I redeem him, so I'm not going to have any more involvement with him, meaning basically I'm mafker him at this point in time, for the future. Tanu Rabbanu lava alav min ovei kochavim. So, kevin sha'asa lo ovei kochavim nimuso, so yatsa lecheres. Okay. So, let's say lava alav. You went to a guy, you needed money, you borrowed money. Okay, you borrow money from the guy. The guy wants to know, hey, what's going to serve as security? So you say to the guy, I have a Kanani. He's going to serve as security. Okay. And there's going to come a point in time where you're either going to pay back the loan, alternatively, you're going to default on the loan. And when you default on the loan, so what he's going to do, he's going to take your Eved Kanani. So now, effectively, what you did is you sold him. You sold your Eved Kanani to a guy. Now, granted, by the way, it didn't start as a sale. It started as just simply security for a loan. But again, you borrowed the money. You didn't pay back. Okay, so basically, now as restitution, you're going to just simply give him the Eved Kenani. We can now call it a sale. And since you sold your Eved Kenani to a guy, you trigger the Kenas. Okay, so the Gemara describes love, love min ovei kochavim, kevin shasa lo ovei kochavim nimuso yatsa lecheros. So my nimuso am ravuna bar Yehuda nashke. Now, when we say, and when the guy goes ahead and goes through nimuso, so at that point in time, now the sale is complete. What does that mean? So the Gemara describes it as Nashke. You look at Rashi over here. I'm not going to read it inside. So Rashi describes basically that an Eved Kenani is given some sort of necklace, badge, that indicates who's his owner. And he has to wear it all the time. So when the Ovid Kochavim brands him with this badge, with this necklace, so at that point in time now he belongs to the guy. So that, the Gemara says, you're not right about the word, about your definition of nimuso. So, meitzav rav sheishes, ha'arisim, ve'achachiros, ve'arise bati avos, ve'ovekochav mishkan sadeo li Yisrael, afa pishas alo nimuso p'tur min ha'maiser. Okay, so over here we see the word nimuso used in a different brisa. Now this brisa over here is as follows. First of all, this brisa opens with the following assumption. Okay. A guy owning land in Eretz Yisrael, the produce that grows on his land, chayv in Shumas HaMaisros or not chayv in Shumas HaMaisros? The answer is, it's a machlokas. This price is going to assume not chayv in Shumas HaMaisros. Okay, so, It's a little bit strange. Land in Eretz Yisrael, owned by a guy, this price is assuming not chayv in Trumas HaMaisers. However, if the land is transferred over to a Jew, it is chayv in Trumas HaMaisers. Okay? So far, so good. So, the land is owned by a guy, but it was collateralized to a Jew. So even though Nimuso occurred, so then Peturim and Amaiser, still all the produce is going to be Peturim and Amaiser. In this context over here, the word Nimus can certainly not be talking about some sort of badge that's worn around a slave. We're talking over here about actual property, real estate. So the Gemara says, Isaka dacha nashke. The Gemara asks exactly this question. So sade bas nashkehi. It's just simply not the right definition. Elam Rav Sheshes Zman. So Rav Sheshes says, okay, so the word Nimuso in this context of this brisa and previously just simply meant the loan is due. Okay. And now let's go back to the previous brisa. Meaning, what did we learn in the previous brisa? That when the loan is due, so what do we say? We say now that the guy is, and you defaulted on the loan, so the guy is now going to come effectively take the Eved Kanani from you. Which again now, that's basically, we're going to view it as a sale, triggering the Kanas, and now your Eved Kanani is going to go free. Okay? And in the case of the land, so again, what happened was is that the guy borrowed from you, he defaulted on the loan, so in comes now the due date of the loan, and he defaulted, you're going to go collect the land. And what we're learning together is that even though you collected the land because of a default, and now the land is being owned by a Jew, it's Pater Min HaMaiser. So the Gemara says, Kasha is Man HaZman. Well, if you're following now, so the Gemara says, you'll notice, wait one second. In the defaulting of the Eved Kanani, where now the guy is collecting the Eved Kanani as satisfaction of the loan. So in such a situation, what do we say? It belongs now, the Eved Kanani belongs to the guy, which effectively means he sold it to the guy, which effectively means now Kanas. Oh, but over here in the case of the land, where the guy owned land in Eretz Yisrael, currently Pater from Trumas HaMaisros, but then what he did is he borrowed money from a Jew, with the land securing the loan, and now there was a default on the property, and now the Jew goes out and collects it because we've arrived at the point of Zman, the loan was due, there was a default of the loan, and now the Jew collects the land, and now it's Pater from Trumas HaMaisros. Gemara says, I'm so confused. If there was a default on the loan and the Jew collected the land now is owned by a Jew, should be Chayev in Trumas HaMaisros. So lo kasha had matas money, had lo matas money. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the difference is that in one case, the loan came due. In the other case, the loan did not come due. So Ella Gabi Eved Dematas Mani Tzrich LeMeimar. So the Gemara says Ella Ida VeIda Dematas Mani. So the Gemara says I don't like that. I don't like that pshat because by the Eved Kanani, where you sold him and the loan, oh, I'm sorry, where you secured him for the loan and the loan came due and the guy collected it, meaning of course now you effectively sold him to a guy. Meaning it wasn't even a chiddush. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, hala gufe, hala peire. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to make a distinction between guf and peiros. Okay, this distinction that Gemara just made, by the way, is not easy. Rashi offers a pshat. Tosos also offers a pshat as well. Normally, right, the vast majority of the time, I go with Rashi. Again, just as a general rule, I'm going to try to offer Rashi's pshat. Happens to be that over here, Tosos is just a little bit easier just to present, just a little bit easier to navigate. You can see Tosfos over here, the last three lines of Tosfos. So last four lines of Tosfos, sorry. Venir lefarish halagufa halaper kamo hagufa vaper degabi evin avagav delo matez mane haguf bevesov ekochav mafkiyam in a mitzvos. Amisham hachiyot zelecheres of abasadein lo leisrael alaperos vasad debeshozov ekochav mampater. So the Tosfos' understanding of the Gemara is very simple. Meaning right now, when you went ahead and used your Eved Kanani as security for the loan, so where is the Eved Kanani currently right now? In other words, he's being held by the guy as security for the loan. Oh. So over there, even though the loan is not currently due, but since the Eved Kanani is over there by the guy, so the Chachamim stepped in and said, you are so close to basically selling your Eved Kanani to a guy, we're going to constant you. Over here, however, the loan is not due. And where's the land currently? The land currently is being held by the non-Jew. So and the loan is not due. So we're going to say that the produce on that land is not chayv in Trumas HaMaisros. So halagufa v'halaperi. As we now are on the very top of Mem Dalam and Aleph. Or maybe over here we could just simply say that the loan was the loan was created without securing a particular item, not the property, nor the Evkanani, but after the loan was originated, basically now as we're getting closer to the due date, so basically now it comes over and says, can we look towards securing anything afterwards? And even though you didn't secure the Eved Kanani at the origination of the loan, but again, now that you're ready to entertain the idea that we're going to use the Eved Kanani as security towards the loan, so the Chachamim stepped in and said, we're unhappy. We're so unhappy that basically you're toying with the idea. You're clearly entertaining the idea of selling your Eved Kanani to a non-Jew. And again, sale, or in this case over here, satisfaction of a loan. What difference does it make? And now you're entertaining the idea by using your Eved Kanani to secure the loan. The Chachamim said already, we're unhappy. Kanas. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, we're in Mem Dal Amud Aleph, and continuing in these discussions of Kanas. Gavo b'chovo, o shalakcho sikrikon, so lo yasa lecheres. So if, let's say, a guy comes over to you and collects your Eved Kanani because you have an outstanding obligation. Alternatively, sikrikon. So sikrikon are basically murderers. Right? Right? Really, really tough people, but not just tough people. Like, in other words, they're murderers. So right now they're coming over to you and you're like, please don't kill me. I have an Eved Kanani, take my Eved Kanani. Okay? So you were basically extorted out of your Eved Kanani. So are you going to get penalized? So in the case of extortion, obviously the answer is no. You didn't willingly sell your Eved Kanani to a guy. In other words, you were extorted. Okay, so there you're not going to get penalized. The first case of the price, however, that one's a little bit curious. In other words, you had an outstanding obligation. In comes a guy and to collect his outstanding obligation, and you give him your Eved Kanani. Okay, you just sold him to a guy. And the Gemara is bothered by that first case. So, b'chov alo v'ramino, are shansu beis ha-melech or no? So im b'chov v'chayev laser. So im b'anparot potem laser. So let's say the king comes over to you and taxes you. Now, if it's legitimate taxation, so then you have to still pay your trumos and maestros even on the portion that's taxed. Okay, I know in our modern taxing system. So, when you give Meister Kesef, when you give 10% of your earnings, so the portion that goes towards the government, otherwise known as your taxes, though you don't have to take 10% of that. Okay, I'm not poskening, by the way, but that seems to be the consensus. Okay, but that's not me poskening. Anyway, but over here it's so interesting. The king comes and takes taxes legitimately. That's still, in other words, you have to obviously account for all that went to the king. It was legitimate taxation. You still have to take trumos and maasros and all that was given to the king. Okay. However, if it was illegal taxation, so then you don't have to take off trumos and maasros because that's not something that you owed. So the Gemara says, Shani Asim to Kamishtar Shalei. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand. But over there, you gained. Why? Because you could have paid your taxes using any money. It happens to be that you use produce to pay your taxes. So over there, when you use produce to pay, what you should have done is that you should have obviously given other assets of yours towards the taxes. You give the produce, so there you're going to be chayiv in. You're going to be chayiv in Shumas and Maisos. I'm sorry. The Kamishar Shile is answering up for the Eved Kanani. I'm sorry. Let's go back. By the Eved Kanani, so what do we say? We said that someone comes along and collects the Eved Kanani in lieu of an obligation that you owed. So he goes free. So the Gemara says, There you should have paid using other assets of yours. Tashma da amarava mocher avdo leparhang ovikochavim. So yes, lecheres. Okay, so if you sell your Eved Kanani to a parhang, that is obviously an unusual word. And basically what we're doing over here is we're describing somebody, again, another type of extortionist, right over here, Rashi describes that basically he charges you, he accuses you, it's libel, and to get him out of your life, so you give him something. What do you give him? You give him the Eved Kenani. So over there, so the halach is yatzal lecheres, so he goes free. So ha'asa ma'avel lefais v'lo pious. Again, the Gemara says, yeah, you know why? Because over there, there could have been other ways of appeasement. In other words, even though he came in, even though it does not look good, but did you have to give your Eved Kenani? No, you didn't have to. And in fact, over there, so you could have given other assets of yours then. And as a result of that, it's basically, it's viewed now as a willful sale of your Eved Kenani, and therefore it triggers a kenas. Okay, and the Gemara basically says over this halacha by Rav Yirmiya. So now, Rav Yirmiya is going to ask his questions. Okay, I've made this comment before, it's clear. Rav Yirmiya basically is always, he's never in the strike zone, he's always on the edges. Okay, baseball analogy, I can imagine some of you may not like it or understand it, but in other words, when you're directly in the strike zone, so we know it's a strike. But if you are anywhere around the edges, around the border, it's a strike. It's not a strike anyway. He always asks these types of fringe questions. Rav Yirmiya is always on the fringe in terms of his questions. And I want to know, when exactly do you trigger this knas midarabana? You sold your Eved Kenani to a guy. You've triggered a knas. You now have to you have to free him. You have to redeem him, you have to free him. When do you trigger the kenas? So Rav Yirmiya is going to ask a series of questions. Number one, machul shoshim yamim. So let's say you sell him for 30 days, what you and I would call a rental. So tashma, so damarava, mocha avdala paranago v'kochav yatzalacheros. So hasam paranago v'kochav emeinu chozer. So Gemara tries to use the case of the libel. The Gemara says, yeah, in the case of the libel, so he's not coming back to you. As opposed to renting him for 30 days, you know he's coming back to you after 30 days. So machul chutz mimalachto mahu. Let's say you sell him, but you know it's not a full sale. So all you're doing is you're basically selling title over to the guy. But in other words, but the Eved Kenani is still going to live by you and work by you. Okay. In other words, it's a nuanced sale where basically title is sold, but at least until the rest of my life, he'll still be employed by me. Did you trigger off the kenas de rabbanan mahu? Also chutz min hamitzvos mahu. So let's say in the sale agreement, when you sold your Eved Kenani to a guy, you agreed with him that he's still going to be able to keep mitzvos. Did you trigger the kenas min de rabbanan? So and by the way, it's fair to say I'm really not sure how all this works. Meaning the in other words, when the Eved Kenani sold to a guy, is he actually no longer chayv in mitzvos, the mitzvos of the Torah? Or is it just simply that his new owner is going to prevent him from being chayv in the mitzvos of the Torah? I'm just sharing with you. I'm not fully certain of how this works. Chutz mishabasos v'yamim tovim mahu. Let's say you sold your Eved Kenani to a guy, but again, in the contract, you make an agreement with him that Shabbos Yontif is going to be off. So effectively now, he could still keep some of the mitzvos of the Torah, notably Shabbos Yontif. Leger toshav. Let's say you sold your Eved Kenani not to a guy, but to a ger toshav. What's a ger toshav? So basically, I've given this analogy before. Basically, somebody who's living here with a green card. Okay, ger toshav meaning he's not a resident of Eretz Yisrael, he's not a Jew, but basically he is now legally living in Eretz Yisrael. How do you legally live in Eretz Yisrael back in the day? So Rashi over here brings down. You're going to find this Rashi throughout Shas. He makes a firm commitment to abide by the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. But in other words, but after that though, he's not bound by any of the other Mitzvahs of the Torah. He's not a Ger in the sense that you and I use. In other words, he's not a Ger Tzedek. He's a Ger Toshav. Again, a legal alien living in Eretz Yisrael. So let's say you sold your Eved Kenani to him. Did you trigger the Kenas? Okay, so the Yisrael Momar, Lukusi Mahu. Or what if you sold them to a Jew, but a Jew that's not observant? The Gemara gives two descriptions of a Jew that's not observant. You saw a mummer. A mummer, by the way, usually is a description of just simply not just a non-observant Jew, but somebody who's really rejecting the halach and the Torah and the mitzvahs. Did you now trigger the kenas? Alternatively, sold them to a kusi. Okay, we've gone over kusi so many times, I'm not going to go over it again right now. Again, Akusi is a, you know, somewhat of a questionable Jew. Let's leave it like that. So in all those cases, did you trigger the kenas? So Rav Yirmiyah asked a whole series of questions. How many of them were going to answer? One. So Pasha Miyachada Gertoshav Harekov Vekochavim Kutiv Yisrael Momer. So Amrelekov Vekochavim Amrelek Yisrael. Okay. So in this brisa, it certainly tells us that the Gertoshav is like a guy. In this particular regard, if I sold my Evikanani to a Gertoshav, so again you were mafkiyim from mitzvah, and now you're penalized. So Bami name Rabbi Ami Evich Shehipalatz Malagayasos Vein Rabbi Yochalotzio Lobadini so Lobadin of the Kochav Maisha Mahushi Tolis Damav. Okay, so let's say the following. You're Evikanani, so he ran away. Not only did he run away, so he joined the army. Now, I say join the army, by the way. I'm not sure if I'm giving a wonderful description of what happened over here, but I can tell you this. In other words, he basically, he joined some sort of a foreign army. There's no way of you getting back. Okay, now there's no way you're going to get him back. So here's a question on the table. You didn't willfully sell him. Okay, over here, he jumped ship. He left you. He joined another army. There's no way you're going to get him back. Can you at least ask for the money? In other words, at this point in time, can we say now that it's no longer a willful sale, but can you get compensated? So Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Zrika poke ayin b'mechiltech. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says to Rabbi Zrika, look, go investigate, right? Go look at your notes, basically. Nafak dak va'ashkach detanya. So he found a brisa mocher beisal of kochavim. So damav asurin. Over kochavim she'anas beito shel Yisrael ve'ein ba'al of yecholotzi lo b'din Yisrael ve'lo b'din of the kochavim moto litolos damav kosem barakosh lahem mimneshu kamatzel miyadam. Okay, we are looking basically at a sugya in Avodah Zarah. You're going to find this in Avodah Zarah and Dav Chaf, and that is that if you own land in Eretz Yisrael, you cannot sell it to a guy. The Torah says lo sichanim. You cannot give them chaniyah b'karka. You cannot give them property in Eretz Yisrael. The modern applications of these halachas is not for me to discuss. But the Gemara of Avodah Zarah could not be any clearer. It's a pasuk in the Torah. It's an issur in the Torah. You sold property, a property in Eretz Yisrael to a guy. Once again, you're subject to now penalty. And the penalty is that all that money that you earned in the sale, so that money now is asur b'ana. You can't get benefit from that money. Okay. I often wonder, by the way, the person who is ready to just simply ignore the Isser and the Torah and sell the property to Eretz Yisrael, that same person now is going to listen to the Chachamim and the Kenas of the Chachamim. Right? In other words, obviously we're talking about a person who by nature is a little bit defiant. So I'm always curious, like, we're going to penalize him? I'm not sure if right now he's currently ready to follow your penalty. Okay, but anyway, I also have to assume that if we're talking about where Beis Din once upon a time had real power. But anyway, but the Bryce over here tells us the following. With a willful sale, you're now going to be penalized. However, if let's say you were thrown out of your home, and now imagine, by the way, it's a house in Eretz Yisrael, and you're thrown out of your home by a guy, and right now it looks like you're not going to get back the land. So now can you ask for money as compensation? So once again, is it a willful sale? So over here the Bryce says it's not a willful sale. You were thrown out of your land. You now can ask for compensation. And that compensation is not going to be subject to a kenas midrabanan. So over here, we just learned that by housing in Eretz Yisrael, so if you were forced into it, it's not viewed as a willful sale. And you're not triggering the penalty. So over here, if your Eved Kenani runs away, joins a foreign army, and now can you ask for compensation? The answer would seem to be yes. Gemara says Vidilma. So, honey, mila bais the kevin to lo sagile below bais lo so lizvuni ava avda. Disagile below avda as lizvuni alone. So, alone. So the Gemara says, I can really see a distinction because in the case of housing, in other words, you really need a house. We all need a house. Okay. You can't live without a house. So over here, Rachmanis, you're forced out of your home and now looking for compensation. You're not going to promote other people to do that. No one's going to want to, right? Now, people need their houses. However, when it comes to your Evikanani, people can live without their Evikanani. And if I can get compensated for my Evikanani, once I see one person selling, even though it didn't start off as a willful sale, but once one person sells, other people are going to sell as well. Shachle Rabbi Ami, Mini Ami, Barnas and Torah Yotzal Lechol Yisrael. So Rabbi Ami makes the following declaration. He says, Mini, from me, Ami Bar Nasan, that's obviously, that's his name. So Torah Yotzeh L'Chol Yisrael, meaning I'm paskening for the Jewish people. Okay, that's a funny introduction to a psak. In other words, I'm not really sure why it is that he gives such a, let's just leave it like that. It's a funny introduction. So Yotzeh L'Chol Yisrael, Evesh Yipil Atzma L'Gas, Ozvei Rabbi Yochol Atzio, Lo B'dinei Yisrof, Lo B'dinei Avgochavim, Moto Lito Ostamav, So he gives the psak, and the psak is that if your Evik Kanani runs away from you, joins a foreign army, you're not going to get your Evik Kanani back. So over here, can you ask for compensation? Yes. And if you get compensation, great. So, and not only that, but write up all the paperwork. In other words, even in their courts, it doesn't matter. Matzil miyadam, meaning that you did not willfully sell your Evik, but if you don't get compensated, you're going to lose assets. So in this case, you're not triggering the Knas Min Derabanan. You can get compensated. So now I said this when we started our whole morning, but now we get to say it again. And that is that if you sold your Evikanani to a guy, so now again, you have to free him. But now moreover, I said this at the beginning, but here the Gemara is being very clear about it. Moreover, you even have to redeem him. You have to free him and you have to redeem him. And moreover, if that's not enough, ad mea bedamav. Even if redeeming him means that you're going to have to pay 100 times his value, you're still going to have to do that. Okay, we're talking over here about a very serious knas mid rabbanan, where you're going to be penalized 100 times the value of the Evik Kanani, because what you did is you sold him to a guy, which you shouldn't have done. Obviously, that's really serious. Dafka, love Dafka, that number 100. Is that
100?
Right. So, right. Fair. It's a fair question. So Dafka, love Dafka, meaning I don't know. Dafka, love Dafka, so is that a cap or no? 100 just simply means whatever it takes. So Tashma, Damer Shlakish, Amocher, Behem, Agasa, Love, Kocham, Konsen, Oso, Ad Asara, Bidameha. Selling an animal. You're not allowed to sell large animals to Goyim. It's So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah goes on to discuss more about this. Anyway, right now we're just focusing on the number. So over here, because you did so and you violated the Din D'Rabbanan, so therefore the Kanaz, 10 times the value of the animal, you have to redeem it. So Adasara B'dameh V'dilma Shani Eved D'chol Yom V'yom Mafkalei Me'mitzvos. The Gemara says, look, here's what I could say. What I could say is that when it comes to an animal, so the number is 10, but the number caps at 10. But maybe when it comes to an Evik Kanani, 100 just simply means whatever it takes. And do you know why? Because every day the Evik Kanani is not living with you and living with the guy that you sold him to, so he can't do mitzvos. You have now taken that privilege of doing mitzvos away from him, and maybe 100 just simply means whatever it takes. Igad Amri Amr Rav Yeshua Ben Lev. Okay. Right. The Gemara wasn't poshut the Shaila, but okay, I hear. Ikad Amri Amr Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Amocher Avdal Avikocham Konsen Oso Ad Asar Bedamav. So over here now, in a slightly different version. So over here, when redeeming your Evik Kanani, only up to 10. Now Dafka La Dafka. So here in the second version. Now previously we said 100, but obviously this is another version. In this version, it's capped at 10. Now capped at 10. So Tashma, Damer Shlakish, Amocher Beheima, Gassel, Avikocham, Konsen, Oso, Ad Mea, Bidameha. Now, in this other version, having sold a large animal, having sold livestock to a guy, so you have to pay 100 times. So Shani Eved, Elo Hadole, so Ela Beheima, Tama, Mai Mishum, De Hadole. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I could see a really clear distinction between the two cases. In the case of the Evik Kanani, post-redemption, he comes back to you? Nope. He doesn't come back to you. That's what we've been discussing all morning. Meaning, because you sold him to an Evik Kanani, you redeem him and you lose him. Right? So over there, I can understand where there's going to be a cap on the redemption. Anyway, you're not getting him back. When it comes to the animal, you know, when you redeem the animal, you do get him back. You do get the animal back. So the Gemara says, great, look, to say it's feichad. So the Gemara says, okay. So then, if that's the argument, so then the cap for the Evik Kanani should be 10. The 10 times its value, the cap for the animal should be 11 times its value. In other words, if it's all based on whether you're getting it back or not getting it back. So the Gemara says, no, but the difference is that selling livestock happens all the time, and the Chachamim really wanted to stop that activity. So over there, a penalty, and a severe penalty, in the second version. But over here, the sale of the Eved Kanani does not occur that frequently, and therefore the Chachamim didn't need to penalize it as much. And now this is going to be the remainder of today's daf. Simple question. Are kanasas passed down from father to son? Father was penalized. Okay, and the father died before having paid the penalty. Is that penalty now going to go to next of kin? Is it going to now go down to the estate? Are the kids now obligated to pay the penalties of their father? Okay, so effectively what we're asking is the following. When you're subject to a penalty, what does that mean? Is it you being subject to the penalty? Or is the penalty now on your assets? Okay. So, im tim salomar. So, tsaram bechor umeis kansu b'no acharav mishum daraisahi. So, let's say the following, and that is that you're not allowed to put a mum on a bechor. Bechor are firstborn animals that eventually go to the Kohanim so that the Kohanim can go ahead and offer it on the base of Mikdash and eat it, but in the event that there is no longer a base of Mikdash, so what do we have to do? You have to wait until it gets a blemish. The blemish has to happen organically, naturally. You cannot put a blemish on the animal. And in fact, if you do so, you're going to be penalized. Nowadays, there's a way of making sure the animal does not have Kedushas Bechor. When we get to the Gemara and Bechoros, at the beginning, we'll discuss that in much greater detail. Okay, so, over here, so if you put a mum on the animal, so what you did is you violate Nisr Daraisa, Mishum Daraisahi. Avahachi Isur Darabanan, but selling your Eved Kanani to a goy is an Isur Darabanan. So, that's interesting, by the way. That's the first time now in the entire Sugya. In other words, did the Torah prohibit the sale of your Eved Kanani to a goy? Or is that an Isur Darabanan? From our Gemara over here, it's clear. It's an Isur Darabanan. So in other words, basically, I'm comparison shopping different types of kanasas. But the Gemara says the putting the mum on the bechor, that's an issa d'oraisa. Our discussion over here revolves around issa d'rabbanan, not a comp. So im tim salamar, now as we're on the top of mem dalam adbeis, im tim salamar malachto b'moed. Sorry, I missed an important word. Kivein malachto b'moed umeis lo kansu b'no acharav mishum d'lo avad isura. So, but hacha mai lidi de kanser rabbanav leso dilma lemamona kanser rabbanav yisa. One more comparison shopping of a kanas, and that is a person who's planning on doing work during Chol HaMoed. Okay, this is discussed in more detail in the Gemara and Moed Katan, but over here you're not allowed to do malacha during Chol HaMoed. Okay, there are numerous allowances that are made. But the starting point is you cannot work your field during Chol HaMoed and other malachas as well. Okay, so you are clearly over here planning on doing malacha during Chol HaMoed. So the Chachamim said you shouldn't have done that, and once again a penalty for having done work during Chol HaMoed. So over here, it's an interesting case. It's a very strange case. The person was clearly planning on doing malacha during Chol HaMoed, meaning he was. The field should have been plowed or harvested right before Chol HaMoed, and clearly he was waiting till Chol HaMoed. Anyway, you're off during Chol HaMoed, so why not? Well, why not? Because it's Aser. But he was planning on it. He's going to get penalized. He died right before Chol HaMoed. He died right before Yontif. So, but in other words, but it's clear that he was planning on doing so. So now this penalty is going to go to the kids, yes or no? The Gemara says no. But over there, I'll tell you why not, because he didn't actually do the Isser yet. Even though the Knas kicked in, he didn't do the Isser yet. But over here, he did the Isser. So he sold the Eved Kanani to a guy. So once again, the question is the Knas going to be on the money, or is it going to be on the father who violated the Isser? So Tizara Lamotse Shvias. Nitaiva, oh. Nidaira, so lo tizor la motzei shvias v'am ravias rabbi chinin akinan heiti va'omets, but no zorah amal didei kanser rabbanan lebrei lo kanser rabbanan. So the Gemara over here comes to a very definitive conclusion, and that's based on the halachas of Shemitah. During the seventh year, you cannot work your land. However, if you make small improvements, right, that's the nit katzva. You take out thorns from it. You shouldn't do that during the Shemitah year, but it's a small improvement and it's not a violation of the, it's not an Isser Torah. Okay, so then you can go ahead and plant the following year. If, on the other hand, during the Shemitah year, you make major improvements on your land, you plow it, you fertilize it, you make major improvements during the Shemitah year, at that point in time, a kanas. And your kanas is, the following year, everyone else is going to be planting, after having allowed their land to rest, you can't plant. Okay, you violate the Isser Daraisa, therefore, in comes a kanas. Now, let's say the owner of the land died in the year following the Shemitah, and now can his kid plant? His kid didn't violate the Isser. So over there, we say the kid can plant. Why? The kanas goes on him, not on the estate. Okay. So, Amar Abaye. Let's just do one more piece and then we'll pause. So Timitaro Shochavero. So Umeslo Kansa Rabbanan Benoacharav. My Taima, Hezek Shenonikar, Losh Mehezek, the Kanasa de Rabbanani. So Lidide Kansa Rabbanan Lebrelo Kansa Rabbanan. One more application of this rule that the Kanas is on the person, not on his property. And that is that if I do damages, Hezek Shenonikar, right? Second day in a row we discuss this. And that is that I damage your property, but halachically. Right, you had food, which you had truma. I came along and it was matami or truma. You can't eat it. All right, that's not nezek. Even though that's a loss, but that's not nezek. Why? Nezek is physical damage, and this is not physical damage. It's halachic damage. So even though now I don't have to pay, but we're going to learn together. This is coming up in Gittin on Daf Nun Gimel. Even though hezek sheino nizer is enosh me hezek, but a kenas. In other words, your behavior is clearly not in the right. And so therefore the Chachamim said, you know what, we're going to penalize that behavior. We don't want you to do that again. And so therefore, as a penalty, now you're going to have to pay. Let's say the person dies, the person who was metame. So do his kids now have to pay? Again, the answer is no. The penalty is on the person, not on the property. And so therefore the person dies, that penalty is not passed over to his children. Okay, good. We're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up. Oluchutz Aretz. Okay. One more day of discussing Evikanani. If you love it, great. And if, you know, it's but admittedly, it's been a bit of a challenge going over halachas that really, in other words, we don't have Evikanani, where this is all, you know, all in the past. But again, a lot of principles that come up over here, like what we just got done discussing, right? Our kenas was passed on to next of kin, right? Is there a Yerusha by kenas? All right, the Gemara's answer is clearly no. Kenas on the person, on the property. Okay, that's a general principle, even though we're learning it in the discussion of Evikanani.